The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Back behind the goal line, it's fed out in front, but Orlov poked it aside. Good job there against the Kraken forechecker, Jaden Schwartz. Coming back the other way now, it's Smith, Toffoli, and Celebrini. Celebrini's right out in front of a net. He pushed the puck toward the goal, but it went wide. Now it's in the right wing corner. Grabbed there by the Kraken D, Adam Larson. Lost it, fed in front, Celebrini shoots, he scores! Larson lost it. Toffoli fed it right in front, and Macklin Celebrini said thank you, and he snapped it home to give the Sharks the 1-0 lead at 1:08 of this first period.
Yeah, you know, every time you can put the puck in the back of the net, it's, you know, obviously it's part of the game, and you got to score to, you know, to win. So obviously Toff comes out of the box. We got to, you know, it doesn't happen very often. So you know, Smitty's early, or I think maybe Mac tips it. You know, we're getting inside, playing in the inside of the ice more. I think it's been the most. Probably the biggest thing going into the season that we've talked about is playing in the offensive zone and with a different structure that we had last year. But on top of that, to play in the inside, and we've done a good job of that.
Yeah, I think it was just like everyone's found a place, and I think we just have great chemistry throughout our lineup. I think guys are gelling really well together up and down our line. Like, we're getting scoring from everyone, so I think we've just done a good job of kind of getting offense throughout the lineup, and it helps kind of put pressure on teams.
All right, good morning, everyone. We are once again waking up winners as the San Jose Sharks continue to play some very high-quality hockey, some very complete hockey. And I go back to a quote from Elliot Friedman that he said a little bit earlier this season when he riffed, "Don't let the San Jose Sharks learn how to defend, or else they're going to be a lot of trouble." And I'm paraphrasing that to an extent. But yeah, suddenly the San Jose Sharks are not giving up goals. They gave up 2 in a win against Jersey. They gave up 2 in a win against Colorado. They gave up 2 in a shootout loss to Detroit. And last night they gave up 1 in a win over the Kraken, in which they were able to now win 3 out of their last 4 games. And last night, even more so than the New Jersey game, even though New Jersey is ostensibly a higher-level talented team, that was their most complete win of the season by far, and you had contributions everywhere. And we have seen lately, whether it's been the second line of Kurashev and Wennberg and Eklund, who's still coming back from an injury, they've been the hot guys, or it's been Celebrini, or it's been other guys, you know, individual moments, you know, really stepping up. But last night, you know, even more so than that New Jersey win, it was everyone. You had a 3-point night for Macklin Celebrini, a goal and 2 assists. Tyler Toffoli, he had a goal and an assist. John Klingberg, a goal and an assist. Will Smith, a goal and an assist. An assist from Skinner. An assist from Wennberg. An assist from Ferraro. A goal for Delandrio. A goal for Ethan Cardwell. And a point for Mook Madulin. Oh, right, and that shorthanded assist from Colin Graf, who made that entire play happen. I mean, that is more guys than not on your line having, on the score sheet, I should say, having points. I mean, that is a big, big night. That's a 16-point night out of your team. 6 goals, 10 assists. And then Yaroslav Askarov, once again, putting forth a really, really high-quality performance. 28 saves, only gives up 1 goal. And the Sharks, not cruised, because I don't think they're at a point where I can say that they cruised to a victory, but they played a complete game, start to finish, jumping out to the lead early, taking control of the game. Even when they did see Seattle come back and tie it, there was no panic in their game. And one of my favorite parts of this game is that In that first period, you have Macklin Celebrini scoring a goal just 68 seconds into the game. When you get an early goal like that, it allows you to calm down, especially on the road, and play your game. You know, they come back and tie it at the 16:30 mark, but then just 2 minutes and 12 seconds later, Ethan Cardwell gets his first goal of the year and gives the Sharks a 2-1 lead from which they never looked back. And obviously, we don't, you know, look at this game the same way we did at that moment because we know the outcome. But to me, getting a reaction from that point at the late stages of the period is when games are often won and lost, you know, those final couple of minutes, for him to come up with a goal right there to give the Sharks the win. And again, allows them to go into the dressing room with a little bit of calmness and with a little bit of control of the game and know that the pressure at that point is on Seattle. You know, the second period comes out. Once again, the Sharks are in a position where they've got to handle a number of penalty kills. They had one penalty in the first period. They had two in the second. Then they had three in the third. So you take far too many penalties doing this game. That's something that Ryan Warsawski has wanted to work on, and he'll continue to do so with his team. But in this instance, every time the Sharks' penalty kill was called upon, it came up with a big, big moment. It came up with a big, big stop. And that, to me, is the biggest part of what we saw out of this game, is the penalty kill has had some troubles as of late, and you saw them step up to the moment time and time again throughout this game. And I'm going to look at that, you know, going forward to see if that's a short-term trend or see if that's something that can really, really continue to carry their momentum of the game and just for them to continue to have these rise to the occasion moments, I think is the way to put it. That's what you're looking from San Jose, because too many times in the last couple of years, the Sharks were the team that faltered in the critical moments. And now in critical moments of the game, you're watching the Sharks step up and come up with big plays. And we can expand that to the second period when you do get that goal from John Klingberg that gives them a 3-1 lead, allowing them to give a little bit more breathing room. And then in the third period, everything just kind of went to plan. You saw them be able to take advantage of their scoring opportunities, be able to take advantage of a number of opportunities that they were able to turn into goals or just turn into extended puck position, turn into ultimately their, you know, just team playing the way they expected to play, better defense, more active sticks, all these things you look at from the Sharks as of late that allowed them to get high quality performances, to get wins, and put themselves in the ability to get 2 points when all is said and done. But beyond looking at the fact that you've got contributions everywhere, it is also about guys, you know, kind of rounding into form. You've seen Tyler Toffoli. He's been a little bit more active lately in the Sharks in terms of their overall scoring. You know, if you look, he had a stretch there, Pittsburgh, the Islanders, the Rangers, and New Jersey, he didn't get much. And then he had a goal against Minnesota. He had an assist against LA, and then now it's been more consistent since that point. He had a goal against New Jersey, an assist against Colorado, and then he had a 2-point night last night. So he's starting to get more into his form and finding those goals that maybe weren't coming a little bit earlier in the year when the goalies had robbed him. But then you also look at John Klingberg. He's been playing really well, and that was after he had kind of a rocky start, and he's gotten back healthy. He's back in the lineup once again. And last night, he's got a 2-point night with a goal and an assist. He had an assist in the win against Colorado. So you're watching him contribute in a big way. You know, Will Smith, obviously, he had the great assist the other night to Sam Dickinson for his first goal. That was the game-tying goal that sent it to overtime. He's got another goal in this game. You know, Alex Wenberg has been on fire. That second line had been playing so well, and it was nice to see other players really step up and have a big night in this game. You know, Jeff Skinner, obviously, he was cool for a little bit there, but now he's starting to come on. Ty Dellandrea, he's had a really strong start to his season, consistent point production. You know, loved his ability with the shorthanded goal last night just because Colin Graf made such a great play to make that happen. Then Ty Dellandrea is there to pick up the loose change. That's a big, big moment for a team. You ride the emotional waves of a shorthanded goal. I mean, the Sharks were already relatively in control of the game at that point, so I'm not going to try and say it was the most imperative goal. But when you do get your second goal of a third period, just 3 minutes and 30 seconds in roughly, that's about 2 minutes after you scored your last goal, which was from Will Smith, you've turned that game from a 3-1 game to a 4-1, and then 5-1 with Dellandrea's goal, and then roughly another 30 seconds after that, it's 6-1 with the Tyler Toffoli breakaway. I mean, those are all huge, huge plays, and they felt so impactful. I mean, if it's one thing because Macklin Celebrini's goal came so quick into the game, just 68 seconds. Ethan Cardwell's felt big because it was, you know, with a minute and 20 seconds left in the first period. John Klingberg's felt big because A, it was on the power play, and B, it expanded it to a 3-1 lead. And then, like I said, the third period, Will Smith, Ty Dellandrea, Tyler Toffoli, those came before the 4-minute mark of the third period. Bang, 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 102 mark, 324 mark, 354 mark. And then suddenly you're gone from 3-1 to 6-1, and there's still over 15 minutes to play in the third. That's demoralizing for the opposition. It shows the Sharks' ability to completely take control of a game, and it's something that I want to see more and more of. And, you know, you have to learn painful lessons, right? You saw the Sharks in the first two games of this year. They surrendered games that they had won and turned them into losses. You know, we always talk about, you know, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. That's what the Sharks did in those first two games. And I'm not trying to make fun or anything. That's not my intent here. I'm just saying they learned very, very tough lessons about not taking control of those games and not being able to get the most out of what they had done, the hard work they did in both those first two games of the year. And right now we've all calmed down because the Sharks are 5-6-3 on the year. They have 13 points. They're 5-4-1 in their last 10. They're on a 4-game point streak. You know, these are all indicative of much better play. I'm not trying to take anything away from it, but you had to learn those lessons early on. And, you know, I'm not trying to say of what the Sharks are going to be. I'm not trying to say of what they're going to do when all is said and done, because I don't think that this is a playoff team. I would love it if it was. I'm just not looking at it that way because I think that puts too much pressure, unrealistically so, on where San Jose is. But they are only 3 points out of that final wild card right now. Let's just be honest about that right now. And you honestly have to look at the fact that, hey, you know, this is a team that's giving themselves a chance. After an 0-4-2 start, they're now 5-6-3. That's high quality hockey. They are 1 point behind Vancouver and Nashville, 2 points behind Chicago, 3 points behind Edmonton and Los Angeles, 4 points behind Dallas. So while I'm not getting ahead of myself, what I did expect for the Sharks this year was to get out to a hot start and be a little bit over their skis and impress people over early on. And honestly, if they do win those first two games, and I know ifs and but, candy, nuts, whatever, but if they do win those first two games, they have 7 wins right now and they have 17 points and they are in a wild card spot right now and they are out over their skis and impressing people. So it's not that far off. Now, we had a correction last year, relatively similar. It's a little bit better this year because last year they didn't win until the 10th game, so they had 9 losses until they finally got that first win. So yeah, when you only have, you know, 4 losses and 2 overtime losses, 6 losses, that's only 2/3 of 9, so it was that much better this year before they started winning. But 5-6-3 sounds a whole lot better than the correction they had last year at the end of October and in the early parts of November. Obviously, even though they were playing better, they cooled off, and then they traded Mackenzie Blackwood, and I think that did have an emotional effect on the team to where they'd been playing better, and they saw, arguably at that point, you know, their MVP beyond Macklin Celebrini get traded away. But I think this year they are learning quicker than they did a year ago. They are finding ways to win games that they wouldn't have a year ago, like the game against Minnesota, I think, is one in particular. And then you're watching, you know, such a depth of performance from the team. So many guys contributing, learning lessons from other games they already experienced earlier in the year, throttling teams. Like, it took, you know, later into the year last year for them to get, you know, complete wins. The first one they had, and maybe the only one of last year, was that really convincing win over Seattle on a Saturday afternoon where Ethan Cardwell scored his first goal of his career, which, by the way, that's 2 goals in the career for Ethan Cardwell. Both have come against Seattle. But, you know, those were rare. And now in the last week with that, you know, win against the Devils, which was really, really complete, and then last night that win against Seattle, really, really complete victory, they're doing more at an earlier portion of the season, and it's more in line with their expectations that I had for them, where they're going to be relying on their young talent, having fun, and seeing what they're capable of. And then also, you know, one of the things that I looked at this year was the young players getting off to a hot start. And, you know, William Eklund, before he's been dealing with this little injury, and he's expected to be back or hoped to be back by the weekend, he'd been playing the best hockey of his career. Will Smith, I think right now, is playing the best hockey of his career. Sam Dickinson got that first goal the other night, and he was playing with some confidence. Now his confidence is through the roof, and he is playing some very, very aggressive hockey, really stepping in, jumping in on the rush. All of a sudden, you're seeing him start to figure it out. I think Michael Mesa, in limited playing time, had been playing some really, really high-quality hockey, and I think that watching him, you know, continue to learn was really fun, and that's why it's frustrating that he suddenly got injured in yesterday's morning skate. He was supposed to play last night, so hopefully that's relatively minor, and they'll be able to figure that out and get him back into the lineup. But let's not go any further than Macklin Celebrini. Macklin Celebrini is the fastest to 20 points in an NHL season since Sidney Crosby, one of the greatest of all time. And I think definitely in a discussion for being one of the top three players of all time. And suddenly, Macklin Celebrini is the youngest player or the first teenager to lead the league in points after 14 games, tied with Connor McDavid at 21 points. And you know the last teenager to do that, to lead the league in points after 14 games? Connor McDavid, who he's tied with again in points right now for the league lead. That is absurd. And Macklin Celebrini had another three-point night last night, and that comes just after that game against Detroit when he was trying to do everything to find that goal, to find that point, to give the Sharks a win. And now he's a three-point night right back there at the top of the league, and he is playing like an MVP. And again, I don't want to get ahead of myself because I cannot say that I should have any expectations that Macklin Celebrini in year number two of his career at 19 years old should be in the conversation for MVP. But at the 14-game mark, he is. I don't think there can be any denial about that. He's in that conversation. And so with San Jose, you got to start kind of scratching your head and thinking, okay, you know, is the future, which we have deemed teal, is it starting to arrive a little bit ahead of schedule? I can't answer that question. However, the way they've been playing is more in line with the expectations I had. The 0-4-2 start was not what I had expected. I don't think it's what anyone had expected, but now they're turning it around and playing in line with a team that I had expected to be over their skis and play at a level that is going to kind of surprise the league. And I think there are a lot of teams that are going to wake up this morning and say, hey, you know, that Seattle Kraken team, you know, was surprisingly in the top of the Pacific and have been playing really well, and not the tippy top of the Pacific, but had been in that conversation. You know, they got 16 points, one shy of, you know, Vegas and Anaheim. You know, and the Sharks just beat them, and the Sharks just beat Colorado, and the Sharks just beat New Jersey, and the Sharks just beat the Wild, and the Sharks just beat the Rangers. And you're starting to see consistent performances fall in line with Macklin Celebrini playing at an extremely high level. And then Yaroslav Askarov is refound his game that was not there earlier this year and took him a bit to find it, and now he's found it, and boy, he was good last night. I don't think anyone's going to deny that. So you do watch these performances and you start thinking to yourself, okay, let's see where this goes. Let's see where the San Jose team can go. And again, I'm not putting pressure on them. My expectations are going to remain low until I feel they should not remain low. But I don't expect them to be the team that we saw a year ago that only won 20 games, or the team before that that didn't win 20 games. You know, I'm expecting them to start winning with some relative regularity and see if they can start putting things together to where we expected them to take a leap that's in line with what we saw from Anaheim a year ago, to where maybe it's around that 30-win mark. And if they do make that jump a little bit earlier than expected, then let's see where they are as we get closer and closer to the Olympic break. I'm not putting anything in stone. I'm not saying this team is going to be awful. I'm not saying this team is going to be a playoff team. I'm saying this team has potential to grow, which has been the whole point of what we wanted to see throughout the entirety of the season. All right, let's get into some of these highlights from last night. Macklin Celebrini, a goal and two assists last night, 68 seconds into the game, gave San Jose a lead they would not turn back from.
Back behind the goal line, it's fed out in front, but Orlov poked it aside. Good job there against the Kraken forechecker, Jaden Schwartz. Coming back the other way now, it's Smith, Toffoli, and Celebrini. Celebrini's right out in front of a net. He pushed the puck toward the goal, but it went wide. Now it's in the right wing corner. Grabbed there by the Kraken D, Adam Larson. Lost it, fed in front, Celebrini shoots, he scores! Larson lost it, Toffoli fed it right in front, and Macklin Celebrini said thank you, and he snapped it home to give the Sharks the 1-0 lead at 1:08 of this first period.
Macklin Celebrini, yeah, getting it done. Now, the Kraken would get their lone goal of the night to tie this game up at 1 later in the first period.
Kurashev put it back to the point. Liljegren couldn't keep it in. Here's Winterton moving up ice with speed. Behind the defense, shoots one. That's a really nice stop down low by Askarov. Rebound near side. Sharks can't clear. Screenshot knocked down. They score. Well, Ryan Winterton gets his own rebound on that play as it bounced back to him, and a screen of chaos was set up in front of Askarov. And so all the right-handed shooting Winterton did was let the shot go, throw it toward the net, and something good will happen. And this game is tied 1-1.
That would be the lone goal for Seattle. After this, it's a Sharks highlight show. How about Ethan Cardwell with the second goal of his career late in the first period to have the Sharks regain the lead?
Will Smith whips it to the right wing and the Sharks break out. Tyler Toffoli, who has an assist tonight, able to gun one into the offensive zone. It comes around the near boards with a minute 25 to go in this first period. Sharks have it. Here's Skinner throwing it up the right side. Wenberg across the line, holds it, feeds it over to the near side. They score! Ethan Cardwell has two career goals, and they're both against the Seattle Kraken. What a great play. Cardwell makes it 2-1 Sharks with a minute 18 to go in the first.
Huge, huge play from the Sharks to regather the lead heading into the dressing room for the first intermission. Second period, power play, John Klingberg with a bomb to give San Jose a 3-1 lead.
Right now, it's back to the point. Klingberg shoots and he scores! Klingberg gets the pass from Will Smith, and he let that baby rip from 62 feet out. That gets by the goaltender Decord, and the Sharks lead 3-1, and that is a big power play goal.
Sharks are in command, 3-1 at that point. We go to the third period, just a minute and 2 seconds in. We get a goal from Will Smith, assisted by Mario Ferraro and Macklin Celebrini.
Macklin Celebrini's already on the ice. Goes to Mario Ferraro. Ferraro across the line, put on the brakes, fed it off to the right. Here comes Will Smith moving and shooting it. Score! Will Smith threading the needle with that puck right on the ice level, getting it past Decord, and now it's 4-1 Sharks.
And when I talk about taking control of a game, yes, the 3-1 lead with the goal from Klingberg was nice, but to get a goal that early on in the third period on the road and build upon your lead, pretty much putting it out of reach. Two goals, that's within reach. Three goals, then suddenly the opposition, the home team, knows they are at home. They're chasing the game, and they're going to need nearly a miracle to get back into that game. So you make it 4-1, just 62 seconds in. That's a huge, huge moment for San Jose. They have got the game by its neck. Now they can go for the kill shot. Just about 2 minutes later, Ty DeLandry is shorthanded off a beautiful play from Colin Graf. Just a great team goal. And again, huge momentum, putting this one completely out of reach.
Now here's a steal. It's Graf. He's got a semi-breakaway. He's in all alone. He waits. He digs. He shoots. That's a big save. They center. They score! Graf had the breakaway. It was stopped by Decord, but he kept on going. The rebound went behind the net, and Graf just centered, and Ty DeLandry puts the puck in the net. That's a great goal at 3 minutes and 24 seconds. The Sharks are on top 5-1, and Ty DeLandry gets it done.
Especially since Colin Graf had not been specifically challenged by Ryan Warsawski, but they did say they wanted to see more out of him. They wanted him to impact the game. Obviously, Graf played some minutes on the kill last night, and the Sharks did not surrender a power play goal. But then to come up with a play like that, that is huge. That's a big, big play. Obviously, being on the kill was a continual theme for the Sharks in this game, and Tyler Toffoli had to go to the box, but he does come out, get a breakaway, icing on the cake, 6-1 lead for the Sharks. That's your final. Tyler Toffoli, let's hear it, Rusey.
Power play continues here for Seattle as it's worked loose. Here comes the Sharks, breakaway for Toffoli, shoot, score! The first shot on goal against Matt Murray, and Tyler Toffoli gets the head man. He's got a breakaway, and he drills it up top to make it 6-1 San Jose. Wow.
Wow is right, Drew Remenda. What a remarkable performance for San Jose. 4-game point streak. They have won 3 out of their last 4. They're 5-4-1 in their last 10. They have put that 0-4-2 start completely behind them, and they are playing arguably the best hockey they have played in years. This stretch that they are currently on, not just in terms of the wins, because there was a nice stretch a year ago, but the completeness of the hockey they're playing, the overwhelming style in which they are seemingly atoning for the sins of earlier in the season, and not letting those things happen again. Taking control of games, making the big stops, making the big plays, stars playing like stars, role players filling up their roles, and the team looking like, dare I say it, a team. And that's not to say that these were not teams the last couple of years, but they were fractured teams. They were not finding ways to win. If they did win, it was nearly miraculous. And I'm not saying that in the pejorative or anything. It's just a stark reality of the level of talent that was on those teams compared to what this team is now and the way they are playing. John Klingberg, healthy, playing well. Ethan Cardwell comes up for the Barracuda, playing well. Sam Dickinson, extremely high draft status, extremely high potential, playing well. Macklin Celebrini, number one overall pick, playing like a number one overall pick, and I would say higher than number one overall pick. He's, you know, the best player in the NHL right now, and if you don't believe me, well, then why is he tied in points at the top of the league? These things don't happen by accident, and I don't think it's too hyperbolic to be saying that, but Macklin Celebrini is playing like that. You know, Will Smith, fourth overall draft pick, playing like that. These are the Sharks starting to rise to their moment, rise to their potential, and hopefully it's a trend that continues.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if happy. Yeah, maybe I'm happy.
Anything to complain about tonight?
No, there's obviously things will, as a coach, you just keep pushing the team, and we want to get better in areas, but for sure, a penalty kill took a big step in the right direction. We scored on the power play. Special teams, you can win you hockey games. We saw that tonight. Our goaltending's been a lot better here recently. We're starting to find guys in roles. You know, when Mies goes down, we play 11-7, unexpected, but we just kept going. We just kept playing, and it is what it is. And I think the mindset of our team has really grown here lately, and that's been the biggest positive.
The mindset has grown, and I think that's something that you need to start paying attention to, and that means the expectation to win, the belief in a win, knowing how to win. We kept on hearing, you know, last year Ryan Warsawski say that this team needs to learn how to win. Well, this is what it looks like, guys. I think they are learning how to win. Now, does that mean they're going to win every single game or they're going to win the vast majority of their games? No, of course not. That would be a ridiculous standard to apply to them at this point of their narrative. But you do see them figuring out in real time. I don't think that's any surprise. I think you're watching them figure out the game. And that goes no further than Yaroslav Askarov. He's played the best hockey of this season, and I would say arguably of his career, because he suddenly looked exactly like that goalie that he was expected to be, and he's doing it, you know, now consistently at the NHL level.
Yeah, Askarov was really good tonight. Made some really big saves. What I think you watch him, he just looks really calm and confident in the net, and that's, you know, even there's no, you just see it. You just see it on easy shots, hard, difficult shots on that penalty kills in the third period. Made some big saves tonight. Cards was good again. Gives us some good fresh legs. He obviously has pace to his game, which helps us. So, you know, I'm happy to get on the board.
Yeah, Askarov earlier in the season was unsettled. He didn't look comfortable in training camp when he was playing, or in preseason, I should say. He didn't look comfortable in those first few games. He just looked a little bit unsettled, looked a little bit jittery in the box. But now he has that confidence back. He looks calm net front. He might still give us a heart attack when he falls, gets a little bit of a, you know, picks his blade and loses his footing like he did the other night. But, you know, that's something that he's willing to laugh at. And I think that if he makes the big saves, we can laugh at as well. And he is making those big saves. He is coming up with the big stops. And, you know, it's no surprise that the Sharks and their defenses, it's now given up, what, 7 goals in their last 4 games? It's no surprise that Yaroslav Askarov and Alex Nedeljkovic have played a big role in all of those, to where they're minding the net the way they were expected to. And so you combine more structured defense, a penalty kill that's playing better, and a goalie, a tandem that is playing better, yeah, you're going to yield fewer goals, and the results are going to be that much higher. And I think now we are seeing the results that we expect. Or maybe, I guess 5-4-1 is probably a little bit more than we expected, but it's a little bit more in line with the growth mindset we had hoped. Before we go any further, and we're running out of time, I did want to get to this quote from Macklin Celebrini, because, you know, last year he was very short with his answers, not exactly expansive. Now he is talking like the future captain of this team.
Yeah, he. It's great to see Cards do well. I think we're all super happy for him, and it was a great play by Winnie to make it through that seam there, and it was a great shot. And like I said last game, if Asky keeps playing like that, we can win some games. So play like that again, and we won. So he was unbelievable.
He's not only holding his own comments on the record, saying that, yeah, you know, I said this about Askarov before, but he's doling out compliments about his team. And I'm sure last year as a rookie, as an 18-year-old, he probably felt a little bit uncomfortable speaking from that sort of a paradigm to where he is a leader on the team. But you know, now for certain games, he's got an A on his sweater. And he is speaking from that mindset of where he is the team leader. And I think that's really cool to see. I mean, he's younger than Ethan Gardwell, right? I mean, it's got to be a little bit awkward when you're 18 trying to speak that way. But now he's earned it. He's shown he is one of the best players in the league. And right now he's tied for the league lead in scoring. We are out of time. I will see you on Friday as we get ready for Winnipeg. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.